This is the Living Clean Podcast. This podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Recovery Cast. Ron and Dave here, back for another episode. But let me explain. The Recovery Cast was an early NA podcast produced throughout 2016. So if you listen to us back then, it's been a while since you've heard those words. But more likely, you're tuning in today to your favorite NA-oriented podcast, and we're expecting a completely different intro. What's going on here is that Mason and Francis, the co-hosts of the Living Clean podcast, thought it would be interesting to put together an episode about podcasting in NA. They invited Dave and me to take the lead and create a Recovery Cast-styled episode where we share our experience in hosting our podcast back then and interview the hosts of three currently running podcasts on what this experience has been like. So we'll be interviewing Mason and Francis of Living Clean, along with Douglas of the Anonymous podcast and Kevin and Josh of the Fourth Step podcast. Then we'll invite each to air the episode in full or in part on their own podcast, if that works for them. First, by way of a disclaimer, no podcast represented here is actually affiliated with Narcotics Anonymous, nor do we speak for NA or its membership. We've each just used the podcast format to create a forum for NA members to share their individual experience, which we hope will be a resource for people in recovery. As Mason always says, this is intended to be just another tool in your recovery toolbox, not to replace the meetings, literature, or sponsorship we hope is already in there. To learn more about NA, visit na.org or search for an NA website in your area. So let's get into it, starting with a quick round of introductions. And for that, I would like to start with Dave, because it happens to be Dave's anniversary week. Let's say our name, our clean date, and give a shout out to our home group. So go ahead, Dave.
Okay, I'm Dave F. My clean date is January 19, 1974.
So for those of us who are math challenged, Dave had just celebrated 51 years clean the day before we recorded this.
My home group is actually a virtual home group now, out of Maryland primarily, called Steps Ahead.
All right. And Francis, why don't you go next?
My name is Francis, and I'm an addict. And my clean date is December 22nd, 1992. And my home group is You Are the Book. Book study meets at 6:30 from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. in Chico on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we just go through the literature a paragraph at a time, and we discuss it, and it's a great way to start the day. Thank you.
All right, and that's Chico, California, right?
That is correct, Chico, California.
California people always just say the city and assume we all know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just assume everybody's from California. It's Northern California, too. Don't get it confused with SoCal. We've been beefing with them for a long time.
And you're of the Living Clean podcast, and so is Mason. Mason, why don't you go next?
Well, I'm Mason. I'm an addict. I'm clean date is 1/21/18.
And this one slipped right by me while we were recording. But Mason was going to be celebrating 7 years the day after we recorded this.
Dark Side of the Moon is my home group in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee.
Kevin, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm Kevin. I'm an addict. Clean date is August 10th, 1986. I've got two home groups. One's Grata Tuesdays in Folsom, California. That's on Tuesday, obviously. And the other is Journey Within Sunday night in Fair Oaks, California.
And Josh.
My name is Josh. I'm an addict. I had 6 months on January 8th. My home group is 2 Foot Drop in Grass Valley, California.
All right. And Douglas.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm an addict. My name's Douglas. I got clean March 12th, 2000, Southwestern Pennsylvania. I stay in the Raleigh, North Carolina area now. My home group is Never Alone, Never Again. It's a Friday night, 7 p.m. in Apex, North Carolina.
All right. So since we're really going to examine the issue of podcasts, just the experience of putting together a podcast, we're going to just go around and ask each of you to just talk about what your experience was. Maybe I'll start. When I first decided to try doing a podcast, it was 2015. And I looked around, what's out there? I couldn't find any podcasts that were NA oriented. I could find some that were generic recovery oriented and some plenty that were AA oriented, but I really didn't find anything that was NA oriented. And I'm a NA guy, and I just thought there's so many interesting characters in NA, so many interesting stories, such rich literature, and so many opportunities to create something that would be interesting, even if only to NA members, but maybe even it would have a wider reach. So Dave and I had met at the World Convention in Philly and became fast friends. And I called him up and I said, Dave, would you like to join me and do this? And he said, yep. And so we just started. We thought, well, let's get about 5 episodes in the can before we really put it out there, so that we have a little room to get stalled or whatever. So we started doing that, and our concepts were related to NA history in part, just interviews with interesting NA members. I had had some experience with the fellowship in Iran, and so I thought that would be interesting. Let's do some interviews with some of the people who have had exposure to that kind of massive fellowship that they have there. And so we did some interviews with people there, with people who had been there, and we were dropping ours every 2 weeks, and we did that for a year. And then I just decided to set it aside for a little while, and a little while has turned out to be 10 years at this point, or 9 years. And so we're I reserve the right to open that door again, but so far I haven't done that. But so that's the story of my recovery cast. Dave, you want to add anything to all that?
Sure. I can talk about how you approached me. First of all, I didn't say in my intro, I'm from just outside of Philadelphia. I got to meet Ron at the Philadelphia World Convention, and I struggle for the word to describe Ron in terms of his familiarity with NA, its culture, its literature, its background, its history. One could say nerd, one could say mensch, but whatever it is, he had it and has it. And we grew very close. And so he brought this to me, and he would never say it, so I have to be the one to say it. It was a fully formed project when he called me. The title was chosen. The format, I had never listened to a podcast in my life. The music choice was his. And probably the first 5 or 6 guests were all in his mind. He had lined up. So I had the really enviable job of being a witness to his creative process and bringing this to the world of podcasts. And it took on a kind of a subtext, I think, of history, because we had quite a few of the our shows were people who were involved, like Boyd and Chris, in history, and we had Bill White, and it just so enriched my recovery, and Ron made it so easy for me to sit there and sit back and just enjoy what I was hearing. And as I said, you know, before we went live here, it really enriched my recovery and has continued to do so. So I want to thank you in front of everyone, Ron, for allowing me to be your wingman.
All right. Thanks, Dave. And I'll say, if we're doing a moment of mutual admiration, that one of the reasons I wanted to pick Dave is professionally somebody who asks piercing questions. And he asks very astute questions. So it was really a lot of fun to be sitting there with somebody who I could count on to come in from the wing and ask a question I would have never thought of and really add some interest to the whole thing. So it was a lot of fun. All right, so let's move to Douglas. I think Douglas was kind of next chronologically in the, unless I'm wrong, Douglas, if you maybe started yours even earlier than that, go ahead and tell us about your podcast.
All right, thanks, Ron. Yeah. All right. Hey, folks. So Douglas L. with the Anonymous Podcast. And first, excited to be here. I think it's a really cool initiative that you guys are putting together. Excited to see how the night turns out. So it's cool. So my journey, much like yours, Ron, I was looking for some resources to listen to. I travel a lot. And I think at the time where I first got some inspiration, my two sons and I, we were living in China at the time, lived over there for a couple years. And I had, during that time, I had listened to the Joe and Charlie tapes. So those who aren't familiar, it's an AA, two guys read through the AA big book, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, and comment, and are readily available on a lot of different platforms to listen to. So I started looking for some NA resources like that, could not find any. I looked and listened to a lot of speaker tapes though, and you know, that were uploaded to digital platforms, but couldn't find anything. And so that's kind of like the springboard. I think maybe that was circa maybe 2013, 14, 15, something around there. And then I would every so often I would make these attempts to start like a podcast or something like that. And it just never seemed to work out. I couldn't line the people up, and then like the topics and how it looked like never seemed to line up. But I knew I wanted to do something to where we could provide a resource for people who wanted to hear commentary and discussion about NA literature when they needed to, when it was convenient for them to listen to. So really, the first episode aired for the Anonymous Podcast in June 15th, 2020. And leading up to that, a few months before that, some things started really lining up and just falling into place. It's one of those things, like every time that I would speak to somebody about it, they would like give me a cool idea or say, yeah, but what about this? And then it just built so much momentum. And so since then, the goal was that the first week or something to get like 10 listeners, you know, that was the goal. I thought, man, it would be well worth the effort, you know, if we can get some like 10 people tuning in each week or something like that. But now, fast forward the tape, now we have, I think, just over 1,500 episodes aired, and we just hit, we're coming up on 1 million plays. Wow. We're in the 900,000 play range, and it's just wild, man. We'll release an episode every day, about the Just For Today. We've done the SPAD book also, you know, a couple years back, but, and then we do book studies as well. So we're commenting on the literature, trying to get an episode out each day, and it's been awesome. I mean, it's just been wild. It just took off. But anyway, so that's kind of like how the Anonymous Podcast got its start and our guiding focus there.
Do you have any idea, like, on any given episode, how many listeners you get?
Yeah, as soon as it drops, we usually, like, what I can track from Spotify alone, we get 700 as soon as it drops, right around 700 as soon as it drops. And then the longer the episode, you know, exists, the more people listen to it, you know, in the days, months, and some episodes, years since then. But as soon as it drops, about 700.
All right. Interesting. Mason.
All right. Hey, I'm Mason. I'm an addict. You know, it's very funny. I had a bunch of people that would come and visit. My home group at the time was newcomers, and it's kind of secluded. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And people would travel and come to our meeting, and they would just love it. You know, they would like, I don't know what you guys have here, but if you could bottle it and sell it, people would buy it. You know, that kind of got the gears turning of, well, how do we expose some of this to the rest of the world? And I had gotten into listening to podcasts, and that kind of got the wheels turning inside my head. And then it just became a full-blown obsession. About the time I got ready to talk myself into actually going through with it, I decided, well, I better look and see what else is out there. So I find this podcast called the Anonymous Podcast. I got to be honest, when I first found it, it was like, okay, good. I can just stop right there. It's already been done. There's no sense in going on. I believe I even came on and did a Just For Today for Douglas to kind of see how it all went. And then I got to thinking to myself that, you know, maybe if we could do something and do it different, if we could find some autonomy and be a little bit different, maybe it could work. And so our sole focus in the beginning was, let's interview people from our home group. We're not necessarily trying to find recovery gurus or, you know, any expert in any sort of field. We're just trying to expose people to what you would hear in an everyday meeting. You know, so we had a wide variety of people from, you know, 30 years down to, you know, a couple of months clean, and just exposing, trying to get, you know, exposure for our home group, which I thought was very special. As that began to grow and I became more traveled myself, I started to realize that we didn't have the market cornered on having something special in our home group, that there's special groups and special people all over the world. So I started to reach out a little bit and interview different people. I actually had Ron on as a guest before I knew Ron, or knew Ron had a podcast. Where I'm glad that, you know, I didn't know Ron's history, because we had just your everyday recovery chat about the fifth tradition, I believe it was, and it was great. That was really interesting. I enjoyed it. And as we've progressed, I kind of ran out of home group members. I went to the World Convention. I bumped into Francis. And when I met Francis, where I was at with the podcast is I was consumed with fear, because I thought creatively I had run, you know, I had went just about as far as I could go. Francis was a godsend. I mean, literally, we bumped into each other at a World Board Forum, and he was looking for an author, and we happened to bump into each other. And since we've kind of teamed up, creatively, I think the podcast has went to places I didn't envision. I never thought possible. And that's a huge credit to Francis. And, you know, so we steal a little bit from everybody. We do a little bit of history. We do a little bit of literature. We do personal interviews. We are actually just starting on the stories in the back of the book, where we had an author come on with a couple of his sponsees, read the story, had the author share his experience, you know, and so we're kind of going down that road. That's kind of how the Living Clean got started and where we're at today. You know, where I was at the World Convention compared to now is I'm excited about the future. Like, I'm really excited. And I had come to a place where I didn't know if I could do it anymore, because I'd run out of that creative juice, and Francis has just sparked that completely. And I'm extremely grateful for Francis and I teaming up. So,
all right. Thanks. You said, you know, about the Hole-in-Wall newcomers group. I found your podcast. I found it because you asked me to speak on it. A little self-referential there, but that's how I first heard about it. But then I thought, okay, let me listen to this thing. It's interesting. And the concept that you just articulated, I just thought, this is just NA as it is. It isn't necessarily, not every speaker is hitting on all cylinders or whatever, but they're all earnest and clear, and it's like being at an actual NA meeting, and I loved it. So you did bottle it, and you did, and that group was attractive. So when I was driving across country about, I don't know, 6 months later, I went quite a ways out of my way and went to the Hohenwald newcomers group just to meet you guys and to see what all the fuss was about. And it was worth it. It's a fantastic group. Francis, do you want to jump in next?
Yeah, I'm relatively new to podcasts. You know, like, I cut my teeth on my recovery cast, you know, like, and that was like an extension of going down the history rabbit hole, and people referred to it. And then what an amazing ride it was to listen to you guys. So during the pandemic, on Zoom, it kind of unlocked me creatively. And I was obsessed with figuring out who the authors were, but I was doing it secretly. And then, you know, like getting to program like a book study meeting on Zoom allowed me to reach out to the people that I was stalking you know, like, and ask them to speak. And then, so there was just all that stuff. And, but that we stopped that when we went into in-person meetings. And I've always, you know, like, get meeting Mason and having a creative outlet has like just been great, because I probably call him every day with new ideas, you know, like, but when we're like backlogged, I send him like these long texts of my ideas, you know, like, but we can only take 1 week at a time. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it. And I'm grateful for all you guys to come in too. Like, I knew about Douglas, you know, like I made a point in listening to all of the Living Clean podcasts. And when I got to the end of that, I'm like, what am I going to listen to now? And then I'm like, I will start listening to the Anonymous podcast. But when I tried to scroll to the end of it, it was impossible. So like my decision around that is like, I'm just going to take Anonymous where it's at and move forward instead of trying to listen to everything he's put out. Now, like in thinking about this podcast, the podcast, I discovered the 4-step podcast. And like that I can handle. Oh, I could probably get to the end of that catalog relatively quickly. But I listened to a few of their podcasts and I'm like, wow, everybody's different. You're like, diversity is our strength. And so I'm also excited about what they're doing too. Kevin asked me he said, I'm bringing my equipment. I'm like, at the convention that I just went to, and he had me freaked out. And I'm like, I'm going to be on this 4-step podcast, like doing my 4-step. And I'm like, okay. And then I was just like, so grateful that he was too busy to interview me, because I was like really nervous about it. So that'd be a good segue for Kevin.
Yes, it would. Kevin, I'll say, when I first heard about your podcast, I went, what? He's asking people to do their 5 steps on the air. And I was intrigued. So tell us about your 4-step podcast.
Well, first of all, we've been doing it for a year now. We just finished our first season. So we are the babies here. And it started when about 2 years ago, maybe, that 3 of us got together. And I've always had the idea of I want to do something creative. And I just happened to have a studio at my house. I'm a photographer, so it kind of made sense to start like in our studio. And Josh and I had talked at one time, and I knew in my head I wanted to do a podcast, and then he said, hey, we should do a podcast. And I said, that's what I've been thinking. And our other friend, who happens to be, Josh is a sponsee of mine, and so is Lindsay, who helped us start it. So we all 3 got together, and we brainstormed of what we haven't heard before on a podcast, a recovery podcast. And Josh just blurted out, we should do a 4-step. You know, we should, because we want to hear some dirty, dark secrets and stories and some trauma and some, you know, we want the dirt that we don't get to hear at a meeting, right? Because, you know, we frown on people telling war stories at meetings. And so we wanted to include that. A lot of times newcomers can identify better. So that's why we put that all together. We got a format going. Josh teases me about my cue cards, because I like have questions written down, like fears and resentments and all that. So we actually do work a 4-step on air. And I don't know, for us, we've tried to keep, it's true, we try to have some diversity. So women, you know, different genders, different races, different sexual identity. We kind of try to treat it just like diversity we would at picking speakers for a convention. And I don't know, our first season, I'm pretty proud of that we've been able to reach out, and the feedback that we've been getting, you know, people, you know, contact us and say, that person, you know, changed my life, the person that just told my story, and so on. So it's been kind of a therapeutic for us, or at least for me. And Douglas, I got to say, that's one of the coolest beards I've ever seen, man. I just got to say that, man. It's hella cool. That's it. Josh might have something.
Yeah, we'll get to Josh in 1 second. That is really interesting, Kevin. And you find that the people who you ask to come on, they're ready to take that deep dive into something that personal. Do you ever get any resistance to that, or what's your experience there? Are people eager to do that?
Yeah, when they say yes, we've already discussed the anonymity about it, so we use their first name. And there's been one person that said, "I'll do it if you don't use my name," because they had a very unique name that like people could actually find. And so we didn't really have a problem people saying no, because we always made sure that they knew what it was about and they were clear. I've had one person call me the next day after an interview and say, "Hey, I said something and I don't really like it," you know, because they were self-conscious about it. And I talked to Josh and he said that was some of the best authentic stuff that they shared with us. And so they heard our feedback and said, "Yeah, you know what? You're right. If it's going to save somebody's life, let's put it in."
Awesome. And if they would have said, "No, please don't," you would have not.
Absolutely. I would edit it out.
Okay.
Yeah, we do that. If they say, especially, you know, if somebody's really, really apprehensive about it, then we take it out.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to find it. And to find it, I should have asked you all this. To find it, you would search for, like if I was on iTunes or something, I would search for The Fourth Step Podcast, or what's
the name? Number four, fourth. Yeah.
Okay.
Or our website is The Fourth Step, and four is spelt out.
Okay. All right, cool. Josh, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, sure. My name is Josh. I'm an addict. I'm grateful to be here, you guys. Thanks. This is cool. It's interesting to have so many people all kind of huddled around the same concept or the same topic of, you know, podcasting, and also like creating space for everybody to share whatever they got going on in their head and their experience. Creativity and expression are like a big part of my life. And one of the big hurdles that I had coming into recovery was like, I don't know myself, like self-identity, I have no idea who I am. And I really struggled trying to find that identity, as well as like struggling to, and also watching other people struggle with figuring out how to be authentic and vulnerable. And once I started doing that and experiencing growth through that process, I realized that that's a huge part of my recovery, like a very big piece of it. And so like the concept of the Four Step Podcast, I'm very inquisitive too. Like I have no problem asking uncomfortable questions, or like Kevin said, he's got flashcards or whatever. Like I just, whatever comes to my mind, I'm just going to ask, you know, like, and the intention for me, the idea or the concept was fueled. Like I wanted to create safe space for people coming into recovery to be able to just be themselves and be okay. And there's no better way than to lead by example. And so the platform kind of creates the opportunity to just be vulnerable and make people uncomfortable, and hope that they answer questions honestly and thoroughly, and create some relatability with people that may not, because we going through steps, we all work a four step, you know, at least I hope we do, you know, but we don't hear all that shit from other people. So there's a lot of relatability that's missed because the only person that hears our four step and the only shit, the crazy shit that we hear that's relatable in that aspect is probably from your sponsor in that dynamic. Sure, you know, support group, sharing war stories or whatever, and, you know, calling when you're going through some kind of trauma and processing with people. That's all great, but to like specifically dig into uncomfortable situations and feelings that people have and circumstances and situations that they've gone through, I feel like it just has the opportunity to create a safe place for people and relatability for people that might not have ever heard any of that kind of stuff. Like some, like for me, my latest resentment has been all directed at myself. And that was a new concept to me. Like I wasn't on my first resentment list. And so like, if I share that, that might trigger something for somebody to be like, oh shit, I'm angry at myself. I'm treating myself poorly. So just as like, as an example, and, I just think it's good for people to get to hear that, that raw, uncut authenticity. And, I mean, that's kind of the hope for me with the Four Step podcast. And I'm grateful to be part of the process.
That's great, Josh. You know, I've been a really active sponsor in NA for 45-ish years. And so I've often said my Four Step gave me a ton of freedom, but listening to Four Steps, listening to Fifth Steps of guys that are really, really getting honest like that has given me probably more freedom, at least as much, maybe more freedom. So you guys hooked me. I mean, I'm interested. I want to go delve into the Fourth Step podcast now. So to find these podcasts, like for the Recovery Cast, we use the tag kind of My Recovery Cast. So look for My Recovery Cast. There's a Facebook group, My Recovery Cast. And there's a webpage, myrecoverycast.com. Mason, do you have a website?
We have a private Facebook page. So you have to send a request to get into the private Facebook page. But as far as finding our podcast, you can, I mean, you can Google the Living Clean podcast, and you have to put the Living Clean podcast. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music, Google Podcast. It's on YouTube, just about anywhere. It's on Audible. Just about anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find the Living Clean podcast.
Yeah, I had no problem finding it when I went looking for it. The Living Clean podcast. All right.
I have a question for Douglas. So I've had the opportunity to be able to join one of Douglas's book studies. I just want to ask you the question about, you know, what are those relationships that you've built? Because a majority of the time you're recording with the same tight-knit group, and you guys have given me the honor of allowing me in on some of that. And I just, you know, the group is unbelievable. What has that group meant to you in your own personal recovery?
Yeah, thanks. Good question, Mason. The current group, we're going through the Step Working God study. We meet every Tuesday. We record for an hour. And we have 10 who show up regularly, and then every now and then we'll bring in a guest for one or two episodes, you know, 1 or 2 weeks. So the group for this study, most are returning from the study we did, you know, previous. And it's really like, it's home group-esque is really what it feels like. It feels like a home group. It feels like somebody misses, we give them shit in the group chat. You know, if someone's talking too long, we follow up with them afterwards and get on their ass about stuff. And we all meet up regularly. You know, that's something that we started doing a few years back with you know, a couple of the studies, book studies that we were doing then. And so here in 2 weeks, we're coming down to Alabama, you know, at the convention there, and we're all going to be hanging out. Man, it's like we're talking to people every day. We're on the group chat is active every single day. We're going to people's weddings. We're praying for people when they have funerals that they have to attend and lose people. Dude, we're tight. We're close. Yeah. I would recommend if anybody, you know, out here is listening, gets asked to participate in something like that, say yes, you know, say yes, and then show up and really watch what like HP has in store. And that's been really cool, man. But each book study that we do, we try to get a different group or ask anybody want to continue on, And so there's been a couple different like cohorts, you know, throughout the different book studies that we've done. And bro, it keeps getting better, man. So we, yeah, so we're a tight-knit group. Does that answer your question, Mason? It's weird getting asked questions, man. It just is. Like, we're all hosts here. It's fucking odd, you know?
It is. It is. No, I just, real quick, Ron, I just want to throw out a shout out to that group. You know, recently my mother passed away on January the 1st, and that group shared so much love with me. Douglas checked on me every day, man, along with Francis and others too. But I'm just saying that group, who I've just gotten to know over the past few months, you know, have kind of taken me in, and it feels like family, you know, and I'm just extremely grateful to all of them and to Douglas for allowing me in on that.
Yeah, thanks, Mason and Douglas. Yeah, it's probably obvious by now, but there's no sense of competition whatsoever among this. It's like there's room for it all, and that's one of the main.
Ron, impetus. Let me push back a little bit on that one real quick, yeah. And then I'll share the time. That. So hold on one second about the competition. Hold on one second. Yeah, the anonymous podcast squad, we had all gotten together in Atlanta maybe or something like that, and we were driving back and we were listening to the Living Clean podcast, okay? Me and a few folks that were in the thing. And I was like, man, this dude, this is the same thing that we're doing here and the same thing that we're doing this, you know. And I got up in it, and then and Christine and Jennifer hit me with man, every intro you play, like if one person benefits from what we're doing, it's all worth it. Like, what are we doing here? From that car ride, I started reaching out to Mason and I said, you know what? Because that's an insecurity of mine. Like, it's a defect of mine that came to the surface. It was really, so I am competitive. I fucking am. I am about everything. And this ought not, you know, need to be one of them. And then, dude, from the first time that Mason and I think you had already recorded an episode, but we weren't staying in touch or something like that, you know. But then from there, man, we've been talking regular, and he come into the fold, and you know, and he's one of my people now, man. I look at him as like he's part of my tribe, and I'm part of his. And so I don't know, bro. I don't know if like there's no sense of that. There is like a little bit. At least there was for me, you know. But leaning into it, you know, I think we're able to build connections from that.
All right. Well, I'll cop to a little bit of that too. When I first listened to Mason, I mean, how are you gonna not be a little envious? You know, at least that's how I felt. It's like, these guys are killing it. And then I would think back to some of the stuff I did. Oh, that was, you know, whatever. But so I'm not saying there was no competitive impulse, but there is no competition. It's a fraternity here. Kevin.
I just wanted to say that I don't have any competition, but I didn't know when I had our friend Jennifer W. on to interview that she was involved with somebody else's podcast, and I found out later after the fact. And so I had a little bit of like, oh shit, did I poach somebody? You know, because I've had her back to like co-host when Josh wasn't available. So Douglas, no, I did not poach her. And I was talking with Francis over the weekend, and he goes, oh, I didn't know. And then she, you know, like, she was on the other one too. And he goes, maybe I need to get her on with Mason so she could be on all three of those podcasts. And I just like, well, I mean, she is pretty diverse. She could fill a lot of shoes. So yeah, go for it.
All right, Josh.
I just wanted to say, I had no idea that any of you guys existed. And it's tight. Like, I'm grateful that there's other people doing it. Like you said, Douglas, about like if one person gets reached, well, something as simple as doing a collective podcast like we're doing right now, the reach is much broader. So, you know, anybody that listens to wherever it's posted, now they have new rabbit holes to go down and new resources to get more information or more relatability or more recovery, you know. So I think it's pretty fucking awesome, really.
All right. You know, one of the things that made me nervous about a podcast is that I felt like, you know, it's not affiliated with anything, and it shouldn't be. It's not affiliated with NA. It doesn't represent anything. But might I end up stepping on something or misrepresenting something or creating issues, creating problems within the fellowship, or having people feel like I'm overstepping or something like that? Did any of you guys struggle with any of that? Did you have concerns about starting a podcast, and how'd you work through that?
Yeah, certainly. I still do to some point. I think the big thing is because of the title. I still worry about the title of the podcast, which is No Secret, named after the Living Clean book. So some of the pushback that I got when I would ask some guests to come on was, you're in violation of the 11th tradition. And so I didn't want to get in debates with people, so I just allowed them to be right, and they very well may be, but my interpretation of that tradition is it was different. And, you know, so I still struggle with that sometimes, with the whole idea of, you know, everything we do is all around NA. We're talking about NA history. I guess the big thing that I want to put out there is that these are opinions of individual members and not stances of the program or the principles in itself, you know, and that's kind of the narrative that we try to push. And, you know, have we come close to crossing some lines? I'm sure we have. And, you know, I just try to learn from them and, you know, try to do my best to keep that separate. But, you know, I think this is such a, even with Ron starting your podcast over 10 years ago, it's still fairly new platform in this world. And we got to kind of find our place, I guess. I don't know if we'll ever be considered part of NA, and I don't even know if that's the goal. I kind of like the outside looking in approach, but it's something that I find it's very important to be cautious of. And yeah.
Josh.
Mason, do you have a disclaimer at the beginning or at any point in your podcast about, like, this is not, you know, connected to Narcotics Anonymous or anything like that?
Yeah, it's actually in the podcast description.
And you do read it every single episode.
I haven't listened to the, I never listened to the intro because it's pre-recorded. I can't even remember what it is, to be honest with you.
you do go through that whole thing. This is not intended to be.
Replace
A, B, C, or D.
I don't know where I got that from either. I just come out of thin air.
Go ahead, Josh.
The freedom of not being directly tied to Narcotics Anonymous is nice for, like, free form. In that, like, you can tap into, if someone wants to talk about their religion, or if someone wants to talk about a specific drug that they use, or if someone wants to talk about how they also go to AA, or include in their story or whatever they're talking about things that would typically be frowned upon in Narcotics Anonymous, things that we kind of try to steer away from. It makes it a safer place. And then I feel like as long as there's a clear disclaimer, it's a pretty safe space, really, personally, anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I would go down those tracks of questioning with people. I would ask people outright, what's your can you share about your spiritual path? What does that look like for you? And let people just unwind on that, which in a podcast, absolutely, I'll go down that. I'd probably steer clear of politics, but I would not steer clear of spirituality and how that manifests for that person individually. Go ahead, Francis.
Oh, yeah. So I, me and this gentleman started a history project, and it was really kind of cool and creative when it started. And one of the old timers refused to do an interview with us unless we were tied to the service structure. And then I became an RCM to tie it to the service structure. And then I've been tortured ever since, you know, like creatively, you know, like around this history project, because now it's a regional subcommittee and I have to go to a region, and you know, like I feel controlled all the time, and you know, like, and so like preserving the message, you know, like that, those guys, like they purposely didn't fuck with the service structure because they just knew not to, like, you know, they might get canceled, you know, like if, you know, like somebody might, like they might vote to stop them from doing the, what they're doing.
It's so interesting. Like there's a history in NA of things like conventions that are not connected in any way to the service structure. And then you've got all that sort of money piling up. You have the question of are they accountable to anything? They're very publicly representing NA in a way. I mean, in that, there's a history of that not going so well. And some, you know, so there's concerns about that sort of thing. And that I had those concerns when I started the podcast, but I had exactly the same sensibility that you guys do, where I said, I'm going to do my level best to never misrepresent NA, never misstep, never do anything, never put my ego out there so much that I'm more important than the message or the fellowship. But at the same time, I'm not going to be connected in any way to NA and have the freedom to pursue a line of questioning that I want to.
And see, that's something that I struggle with strictly because of the title, you know. The title kind of is that connection, that bridge, I feel like, you know, so that's something that, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm still up in the air about, and I would really hate to change the title now that we're 2 years in, but, it's something that I've thought about constantly. You guys were smart enough to pick generic recovery titles that doesn't really associate yourself with any particular fellowship, and I wasn't smart enough to do that in the beginning. So,
well, I'll push back just a little on that, Mason, because had you said the NA Basic Text Podcast, okay, now you're referencing a book, but the phrase "living clean" is also a generic phrase that's what we're all doing in recovery. We're, you know, living clean, living drug free. And then for me, the words living clean have taken on depths of meaning. When I got the drugs out of there, there's depths of meaning to that for me. When I find I'm sharing clean, but living dirty, you know, in some other way, then I want to, you know, I want to apply my steps to that. The disease of addiction is kind of a relentless beast. And I want to be living clean wherever it manifests. And so that phrase, I think your podcast name has just enough of that generic quality to not have the problem that you feel it has. That's my take anyway.
See how I fished out the answer I wanted?
Yes, yeah, you're good at that. You are really good at that. Francis, did I say?
Oh, I was just saying we pirated that name from Alcoholics Anonymous anyway, you know, like from their book, Living Sober. You know, like, yeah. So... you know, like, what, are we going to get in trouble with the AA and NA?
I think we're almost an hour in, so let's kind of each, is there a standout episode for you that really touched your heart or felt like you felt might have made a difference, or just you feel some connection to you want to share about, just a brief share from each person about that? Who's got one you'd like to say something about? Kevin, go for it.
I don't know about my favorite, but the most impactful one for me is one that Josh and I just finished. A year ago when we first started, we had a gentleman on that we were interviewing, and he had such an amazing story, like trauma and everything that went along with it. And I did not save the episode. So I like totally fumbled that episode. It didn't record. We didn't get it. And we just got him on a couple weeks ago. He came back. And this is after a year of him doing his step work and in recovery. And we just finished recording that episode. And I got to tell you, man, it's one of the most impactful episodes that we've published. And it's the one that we just put out. He realized he was gay when he was like 6 or 7. he lived in an area where he was surrounded by like macho men, and he ended up taking up bull riding. And so like his story goes on to be, he's like a world champion gay bull rider. And then this, you know, gets into drugs, and then horrific stuff happens to him. And I don't know, it was really impactful. And that's probably one of my favorites.
Mm. Josh.
My grand sponsor, Kevin's previous sponsor, was terminally ill and on his way out, and we kind of knew that it was coming, and I had moved out to the Bay Area for work at some point and didn't really know anybody out there, and was able to get plugged in with him through Kevin and got to spend some time with him, and we were able to schedule a podcast with him real close to the end, and I was so honored to be able to do that. Like the impact that he had on the recovery community in the Bay Area, and like the pride that I had in the impact that he'd had on Kevin's life that had had the impact on my life, and getting to kind of see like just deeper into recovery through that process, getting to spend some time with him, going out to get coffee with him, and then finally being able to do the podcast with him. It was heavy for me. I don't experience like feelings of like, I guess I want to say like joy and sadness combined very often. And I experienced kind of a new, and gratitude, and I kind of experienced all of them together, and was able to just kind of feel that. And it was very impactful for me. Like I thought about it for days leading up to it, and pretty frequently for weeks afterwards, just being grateful that I got to be part of that process. We had we went to his, I guess like it would be considered the celebration of life. Everybody got together and went out to dinner after the service, and I got to get introduced to his family, and they talked about the impact that that podcast had had on them, and how grateful they were that we were able to do that with him before he went. So that was a big one for me.
That's powerful. Francis.
Yeah. So there's kind of like pre-Francis and post-Francis. And so like I really enjoyed the 1 year anniversary podcast that Mason did, like where he recapped his first year. And there was also a bonus episode that he did on the World Convention that I thought was like excellent, that I really listened to a couple times. And part of that was like me reliving the World Convention through somebody else's eyes, because I had such a great time at the World Convention. So I really enjoyed that. But I enjoy listening to it the second time better than being in the interview. And like, it seems like it, like a lot of them just pop. And like we did God Walked In, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And then the next week we recorded one of the individuals that were in God Walked In, which is the latest podcast. And I'm like, oh my God, this is even better than the last one. But that just might just be me like being excited about our podcast. But people comment and say, man, that was good. And so like, I know that when I hear that, I know we're on the right track. There's a guy named Richard who is just messaging me while we're in here, and we fished him out of nowhere because he was the chair of the Mid-South Regional Service Conference. And like, we did a 2-hour episode on this history piece, which was like the adventure of digging up history that was lost to Narcotics Anonymous that Chris and Boyd sent us on was like priceless. But I think it probably bored everybody except for me and Mason, you know, like, but, you know, we loved the adventure, like the treasure hunt of finding old minutes and dinosaurs that forgot that they were chairing a conference with less than a year clean. And so I can just, all of it is super just beautiful to be able to creatively create some stuff that that impacts people. Thanks.
Yeah. Mason.
I'll be brief. So there's three that really stick out. There's one that's really meaningful. And then there's a couple that I really enjoyed the whole process of conducting the interview and listening back. The one that was really meaningful, Ron, I'm going to give you a shout out, is when my sister passed and you came on and you helped me out. I wasn't up to do the podcast that week. I've never missed a week. I've always been on every episode since we started, and I wasn't up to it. I asked Ron for help and he came on, and you know, not only did you come on and help out, but you helped talk me through that kind of live on air, similar to what the guys in the Four Step podcast are doing. And we got to do a four step on that situation live and share it with everybody. And it was really great. So that one was the most meaningful. And the two interviews that I really enjoyed were the personal interview was Motorcycle Ed. That was just a joy. He's such a unbelievable individual. I mean, you just, you know, do yourself a favor and give that one a listen just for Ed. I mean, I can listen or talk to that guy, you know, for hours. And the second one would be a literature study that we did called Conscious Contact. It's quite long, but we brought in all the people that helped start the Conscious Contact Zoom meeting that started during the pandemic, the 11th step meeting. And we broke the whole chapter in the Living Clean down. Each person had an individual paragraph. So there were 11 paragraphs, 11 different shares, and it turned into a speaker jam. You know, we envisioned maybe 2 or 3 minutes each person would share, and it turned into like these 25 and 30 minute shares. But they were so good that we never tried to step in and intervene, and we just let them go. And those three are the ones that really stick out to me that I've enjoyed.
I'll say, thinking back to my podcast, yeah, I could, as I was ticking through, I could just go down quite a list. One of them was one that a guy, this I'm probably stealing your thunder now, Dave, because I bet you this might be one of yours too, but a friend of Dave's from his home group in Philly has been doing H&I more like a institutional group of NA in Graterford. Yeah. And so he's been doing this for, I don't know, 30 years.
At least, almost beginning of his recovery.
And a lot of the guys in the group are on death row. And so he's got guys who are on death row, who are in recovery and have a vibrant NA group in this prison that he goes in every week. And to hear the passion of this guy for making sure that they get their meeting. He doesn't show up, they don't get their meeting, you know. So his commitment was just really palpable. And he told stories of you know, when one of them started working in the hospice in there, and so he's helping people die. That's his passion in life that he's been, and he's never going to get out of this prison. But in this prison, he's working in a hospice for some of these lifers that are dying, and it was just an incredible episode. And I could tick down a number more, but I'm going to go to Douglas.
Yeah, that is a good question. I was thinking, man, there's so many, you know, ones that like have either touched me personally or like, you know, we would get posts on Facebook or messages coming in saying, wow, you know, this episode really made me look at things different and stuff like that, which is always cool to hear. A couple of the ones that had the most impact on me, when having newer people on is really cool. And talking about like just for today and seeing things like with their perspective. And the one dude was having such a rough time, man, really nervous. And it was just cool, like during the whole thing, it was like, all right, let's just stop and breathe. We're going to breathe. I took a couple breaths with him and let him know, like, hey, I'm right here with you. You know, and then we started talking and chopping it up. So that was really neat, man. That meant a lot to me. Another one was this lady, she did a lot in the recovery community in North Carolina, a lot on the western side of the state. And very loved by a lot of people, helping raise her daughter's kids. And, you know, had a lot of family stuff going on. And she had to reschedule. talking about the Just for Today a couple different times. And so the third time, she's like, all right, I'm just going to do it. We're going to do it. So she locked herself in the bathroom, you know, recorded from her phone. I hear the kids, like, you know, hitting on the thing and stuff like that. Just a powerful, powerful message, man. And she died shortly after that. And it's things like that, man, that happen, of like, just being able to be part of people's experience of she showed me, like, hey, she had so much stuff going on, and still was able to say, hey, look, you know, let's come together, let's carry the message. And then knowing, like, that still lives on, like, she, part of her still lives on because of platforms like, you know, what we're doing and stuff like that, you know. So that meant a lot to me.
All right, Dave, you want to highlight anyone?
Yeah, sure. Just want to echo what you said about Petey. Was the fellow who just on his own really started taking that meeting into what's considered to be the, at that time, the most dangerous prison in Pennsylvania. That, and then, of course, any of the episodes that we did dealing with history. I mean, to be able to talk about Jet's draft of Living Clean and all the work you put into that, and I fully understand why that it just didn't fit NA's model for a more collaborative accounting or a publication, any of their books. But that and any of the shows that we did about history, and having Boyd and Chris on, because, you know, it was so exciting to get involved in history. And when I first was drawn to that, it was, I'm not going to say it was pre-internet, but it certainly, the data wasn't out there the way it is today. And it was, you know, really, I spent Saturdays in the library going through old issues of Reader's Guide to Periodic Literature and doing microfiche and all of that. But so anything, we did a few of history broadcasts, and they did and do continue to really resound with me. So.
Yeah, me too. And what was interesting is there's more than one way to interpret some of these early events in NA history. And we had a few different points of view represented on our team, and we battled it out, you know. Well, and it was really kind of fun because it was totally mutually respectful, but it was, well, yeah, but if you look at it this way, you know, those were a lot of fun to do. And I was going to say too, that, just personally, I listened to the whole thing again not that long ago just to reminisce, you know. In the one episode, I did an episode, or I asked a guy to come on, and we did an episode with a friend of mine who was, for his 50th birthday, he decided to travel all the way around the world and just go to NA meetings and conventions and spend a year on the road going around the world. And he was about halfway into it. And so I said, hey, would you want to come on and talk to me and Dave about your experience doing that? And it was just such a fun episode. So interesting to hear his adventures. But what really stuck out for me was he made the comment, like I told you before, I would sometimes ask people, tell me about your spirituality. How do you see all of that? And he said, well, I'm an atheist. And he said, well, how I came to being an atheist is I finally started working the 11th step. And he said the 11th step brought me to atheism. And then he explained that. You know, he explained it in a way that he has an active spiritual life. And it was really a credible story of someone with an active spiritual life, with working the steps, but believing as they believe, which I feel is just so important for us to honor. So there was just so many. Many like that. Those conversations really get interesting sometimes.
Thank you for joining us on our Living Clean podcast. This is another platform that we can share our message of recovery, which is an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Join that no matter what club. You can contact us through text. The number is 931-306-9364.